Hi, this is Alina and Megan, and you're listening to Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast, where we dive into all things health, wellness, and fitness.
We are two certified athletic trainers, personal trainers, and nutrition coaches who met and graduated together from the University of Arkansas. And we want to do this podcast to spread our joy about treating our bodies well through nutrition, exercise, and knowledge.
Okay, so time number two. Welcome, Haley, to Move Your BB. Move your brain, move your body. We're so happy to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, well, for our listeners, our first podcast, we did an amazing podcast with Haley, and I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, that's all right. It happens.
That's okay.
Technology is, it's all right. So we will get to it.
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I was like, last night I was trying to think, like, what
did
we even talk about? I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, so we just like, obviously just finished the holidays. And so I know that Addie was posting a lot of like travel tips to the pelvic floor and stuff like that. And another thing that I've kind of gathered from a lot of people posting around like the holidays and Christmas time is that people are like really stressed, which can obviously affect like, you know, how we're holding ourselves and the pelvic floor, things like that. So, I guess I'd like to ask starting out, tell us a little bit about yourself because we won't have that from the last episode. So please tell us about yourself.
Yeah, we'll do that first.
Yeah. So my name is Haley Kava. I'm a pelvic floor physical therapist, and I never anticipated that that would be my title that I would wear proudly. I started in outpatient orthopedics in a sports medicine setting working at a university. With varsity athletes and professional athletes, directly with orthopedic surgeons, and thought that that's the type of work that I would always be in. We did a lot of research on ACL repair and Achilles tendon rupture, and not like conservative management of Achilles tendon ruptures. And yeah, that was definitely where I saw myself. And then moved to the US from Canada and had to learn a whole bunch of new stuff about insurance and billing and how physical therapy works in a different country. And ended up being super stressed, super overbooked, working in a mill and in a lot of pain. And that's when I found postural restoration when I was about to go back to school to do something else, because I thought physical therapy was not for me. And within one session with my old boss, Jim Poulin, I was out of pain and was like, all right, I'm in. Can you hire me? I want to work for you.
Wow.
And sort of the rest is history on that. So I worked in a PRI clinic. We were with the Poulins for, I think 6 years almost. And oh my gosh, sorry, my dog is here. One second. I'm going to
okay.
Go on out. Okay. So I worked with the Poulins in North Carolina for a long time and learned so much from them, and just learned so much about PRI and was obsessed with it, and then had my first baby. And that was really eye-opening experience, and was a whole lot more difficult recovery-wise than I was anticipating. And so when I was trying to get information about pelvic floor stuff and seeing traditional pelvic floor PTs, I was just really disappointed in the quality of care that I was getting, the quality of information that I was getting. And so a little over a year, around a year after my son was about a year old, I took my first Herman and Wallace course for internal assessment and treatment of the pelvic floor. And then have really since then exclusively practiced in the pelvic health world, not because I don't like orthopedics and other stuff and treating the whole body. It was just like, I want to do this. And so just really kind of pivoted. And so still use all of those PRI concepts for the whole body, but work primarily with pregnant and postpartum people and people with pelvic pain and other pelvic floor dysfunction.
So yeah. In my opinion, there's such a need for pelvic floor PTs, but then also somebody who understands the asymmetries of the body, which is generally what PRI is. What would you say is the biggest thing that you've like that you do differently from other providers that are pelvic floor PTs, but what is different with your training?
Recognizing that asymmetry exists and recognizing that asymmetry is relevant and important. Recognizing that the pelvic floor is not one blob of muscle and that it has quadrants, right? So a lot of what the sort of traditional pelvic floor training is determining if someone has a tight pelvic floor or hypertonic pelvic floor or a weak pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's more complicated than that. And that within a pelvic floor, we can have tension and weakness and something that's long and tight, something that's short and tight, something that's long and weak. And we can have all sorts of variation inside one pelvic floor. And so recognizing that and addressing that and choosing exercises and interventions that go along with that for each individual person, I think is something that's unique to how I practice in the pelvic floor.
Yeah.
We integrate internal techniques that also recognize that. And so it's not find and destroy trigger point land, which is what a lot of times what happens. It's we're being really intentional about what positions we're getting our patients in for internal work, what breathing strategies we're going to use with that internal work in order to maximize the benefit of their session. And so a lot of times in traditional pelvic floor PT, it's like, okay, this person has symptoms of tightness or this person has symptoms of weakness, and we're going to treat using blanketed strengthening or blanketed relaxation. And yeah, I just feel like that's not enough. We need to do better than that. And I think we can do better than that as a profession for sure.
Yeah. So I want to dig a little bit deeper into like the different quadrants and like what can, some things can be tight while other things are loose or whatever. So how do those different situations in the pelvic floor typically present, or is there a typical presentation?
So in postural restoration, we talk a lot about a left AIC pattern. So where the left, we have a dominant right side of our body. We tend to prefer sort of orientation right. And so if we are more anteriorly rotated on the left and more posteriorly rotated relatively on the right, as a sort of general rule of human asymmetry, we will see that reflected in the pelvic floor. So what I see time and time and time and time and time again when I assess pelvic floors is humongous, big, bulky right obturators. And so the pelvic floor is a bowl. And I would say 9 out of 10 pelvic floor muscle exams that I do, when you are assessing, you go in to assess that third layer of pelvic floor muscles, and you will feel an obturator going like this way, not this way. And then you will turn over and you assess the whole right side, and then you go over onto the left side and it's like, where is this left side? Mm-hmm. It's like, there's nothing there. Well, I know that there's something there. This person hasn't had maybe an avulsion injury from birth, which can happen, but they don't, there's no tone here. There's nothing. It's hard for them to activate here, but then you start rotating around that pelvic floor, and then you get into that more posterior pelvic floor, and then again it's like pushing into your hand. Mm-hmm. So we see a ton of higher tone in the left posterior outlet and the right anterior outlet, and then lower tone or weak, more weakness that we see in the left anterior outlet and then the right posterior outlet. That I would say that is the underlying pattern in most of my clients. Granted, though, I'm seeing a lot of clients with pelvic floor pathology also. So pelvic organ prolapse, traumatic births, fourth degree tears, things like that. And so they will sometimes present with more pathology in terms of over lengthening or crazy amounts of tone that you would not believe. In areas that don't always follow that exactly, but follow it generally. So knowing your left AIC pattern well is super helpful in terms of kind of managing the pelvic floor. But I mostly see that bilateral on the table, right? Their table tests, their adduction tests are going to be limited bilaterally most of the time. But when we actually assess the pelvic floor, that's when you can really see their underlying pattern a little bit more.
Yeah. So yeah. I think it's like, I hope we're getting away from this, like as a general society, to just recommend like Kegels if someone is having like incontinence. But in the situation that maybe people don't understand why that may not be the solution, can you enlighten us a little bit?
Yeah. So if we aren't, so the phrase that I come up and say a lot is the pelvic floor is just living in a container. And the container is the pelvis. And so if we don't respect the container that the pelvic floor is living in, we're never really going to fully understand what's going on in someone's pelvic floor. And so if someone's container is very bilaterally extended, like they're really, really forwardly anteriorly rotated, really tight back, really weak inhibited abs, rib
flare. Like a pregnant person.
Yep, exactly. then we are going to have this container in a position that's going to put a lot of emphasis on the posterior outlet. And really how female anatomy is set up is that we have two pretty decent sized holes in the front of our pelvic floor. So our anterior outlet just anatomically has less support than the posterior. The muscles are larger outlet. So if we recognize that if someone's in a position of asymmetry and imbalance, and we give them a Kegel, their pelvic floor is dry. And if we teach them how to relax, their pelvic floor is going to relax. But our body is going to take the path of least resistance. So we know if someone's already super short and tight in the back of their pelvic floor, and we say Kegel, or, you know, contract your pelvic floor, you're going to contract where you're already strong. And so we want to put people in positions of decreased efficiency initially, so that we can actually decrease like where they're already strong. So it's kind of like, if you only have, you know, 70% of motion in your back, or, you know, 20% of motion in your bicep, and your bicep curling at the top of that bicep, you're going to continue to get strong there. If you never go out into those outer limits of your range of motion, you're never going to get strong in those outer ranges of motion. And so, so there's research that says that the best cue for pelvic floor muscle contraction is to stop a fart. Telling your clients to stop a fart. Yeah. I hate that research. I hate that research because everyone's posterior outlet is strong. Mm-hmm. So we cue people to stop a fart. We're teaching them how to get stronger in their pattern. If we cue someone to grab a marble with their vagina or grab a blueberry with their vagina, it's going to test weaker. So when we're testing them vaginally or with sensors or whatever, it's not going to be as strong of a contraction. And that's important information, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, that's interesting.
It shouldn't be that, oh, we shouldn't cue that. Lost it for a second, I think.
Yeah, just repeat what you just said.
So it's important, relevant information that someone is weaker if we cue them to grab a blueberry with their vagina, and stronger when we say stop a fart. Mm-hmm. Right? Really, because really it means that their anterior outlet is weak and their posterior outlet is dominating.
Stronger, yeah. Yeah. And that shoves all the pressure towards the anterior outlet.
Yeah. And we are anatomically weaker in the anterior outlet because of the holes that exist there, but we don't need to make it worse by just cueing people how to squeeze their butthole tighter because we already have enough tight assholes in the universe.
we certainly do in more ways than one.
That was so great.
yeah.
Wow. That's super interesting, but also kind of this topic, we could talk about like post-pregnancy, during pregnancy, but also like even a lot of weightlifters, powerlifters, you see a lot of leakage. And from what my knowledge is, a lot of it is actually similar pathology. But can you mm-hmm. talk a little bit more about that and kind yeah. of different techniques to manage
yeah.
it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the same patterns. Weightlifters are going to just be using extreme amounts of load. Right. But some studies have been done on collegiate athletes, and it's I can't remember, but it's like 70% of collegiate female athletes have some degree of pelvic organ prolapse.
Wow, that's really interesting. I worked with gymnastics in college, and I was a gymnast myself, and I don't think I know one gymnast that doesn't have an issue with this, even at the like highest level. So like I can really relate to that. It's very interesting, but I didn't realize that much about other sports.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, stress incontinence is just rampant in female athletics, particularly things like dance, gymnastics, higher impact, higher extension sports. And so if it's just like any other training, right?
Yeah.
If we are trying to make people as efficient and strong as possible, and their sport requires a lot of extension. So I'm not going to tell a gymnast to not stretch, and I'm not going to tell a gymnast to not backbend and not, you know, do those things. But we need to provide a little bit of a counterpoint so that their body can not live in those positions all the time. Mm-hmm. Right. And so a power lifter who's experiencing urinary leaking, or a gymnast who's experiencing power leaking, needs to be very strong in extension. And doing one pass in gymnastics, doing one PRing on a lift, isn't going to be the thing that wrecks your pelvic floor. It's going to be that you train that way and live that way, and you're never, ever, ever getting out of those out of those patterns. Mm-hmm. And so whether that's something that you incorporate into your training, or that's something that you incorporate into your cool down, or incorporate into your rehabilitation or your movement, whatever, that is going to be more impactful than avoiding the activity that actually causes you to leak or to have symptoms. And so it's usually not rocket science. I like always joke that like it's not rocket science. If someone's always extended all the time, let's give them like some activities that counter that, and then we're going to have a little bit more balance and system is going to be happier, and we're not going to progress to the point of being so patho, right? To be have so much pathology that now your anterior pelvic floor is completely blown out.
Yeah.
Well,
for lack of a better term, probably shouldn't say that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Another thing that I think is just something that is so important is just like normalize talking about these things, because we're okay with talking about so many other things, but like I know like many of my friends that have had children, like not even talking about athletes necessarily, but active people that want to continue to be active, and they just think like their body is like, that's just what should happen after pregnancy or during pregnancy, or mm-hmm. even if they haven't had kids, like, and I just think it's obviously a topic. Not everyone is like a pelvic floor physical therapist and is just fine talking about vaginas all day. But I think if as a society, we kind of normalize just like acknowledging it, that pelvic floor PT should be something that is prescribed by the guy, the obstetrician or whoever helps the person give birth. Like, I just think it would push us in the right direction.
Our bladder bowel function, our sexual function in pain are really important health metrics. Really, really important health metrics that all healthcare providers or strength coaches or people who are working to help improve people's health should be talking about and be more comfortable talking about. And I even add periods. cycle, yeah. menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
The fifth right? vital sign.
Yes.
Yep. And so even if it's not friend to friend, people are yet comfortable talking about this. Healthcare providers, physical yeah. therapists of all types, strength coaches of all types, more than 50% of your population is probably going to be females.
Yeah.
You need to be comfortable talking about this. And it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to be comfortable treating it or know everything there is to know about it, but you should be okay asking about and also helping to explain to your client why that's important to ask about it. Mm-hmm. So hey, you can preface it. Hey, I have a couple questions about bladder function, bowel function. I know it sounds a little bit weird for me to be asking you about this, but it is really important because your pelvic floor is really essential to your core function.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, our clients always have the right to answer or not answer questions that they want to. But I think when we explain that we really care about how their whole body is functioning and how really our pelvic floor being an essential part of that, then we can be a better provider. We can be better at what we do.
Yeah. And just like mm-hmm. making them understand that it's all relevant. Like, I mean, yeah. so many people with back pain were probably suffering from pelvic floor issues, whether it's cause or effect. And that's mm-hmm. obviously a ton of the population that physical therapists see in general. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. 70% of people with back pain have pelvic floor dysfunction. yeah.
Well, there you go.
Which direction it goes. Yeah. Yeah. It's important. I think also for end of life. So if you are incontinent as an adult, your all cause mortality goes up a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. So you will die younger. You will die younger. It will cost more to take care of you as you age.
Mm-hmm.
Pads and incontinence products are expensive and surgeries for incontinence don't work that well. And so, yeah, like it only makes too much sense to be preventative and to take care of these things. That's not necessarily how our system works, but, working on
that. Yeah. But I feel like as PTs can really like, I mean, you're in the best position to, you know, get people and intercept them when they're kind of in that more preventative aspect, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think hopefully we have a whole, at least a small generation now of people who are thinking about pregnancy, are pregnant, who have had children that are more aware of the fact that something like pelvic floor PT or strength coaches and therapists who are attuned to this type of thing, because it also matters for our male clients.
That was what my next question actually was, mm-hmm. because I saw somebody this week with male pelvic floor issues. And I thought it was really interesting because I don't usually see men for pelvic floor stuff. So I wanted you to kind of talk a little bit about that because I think it's now become so much more normalized for females to talk about it. It's mm-hmm. so not for males and it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I could yeah. feel that off of him. And I just
yeah.
felt for him because it's like, the young kid, like, just, I just want to help you. And it's so uncomfortable. You could just see how uncomfortable it was.
Yeah. And I think that's, I feel like I'm really, PRI is a really great way
yeah.
to help people get to know more about their pelvic floor without necessarily having to, or to slowly work our way into comfort with potentially an internal exam if it's warranted.
Sure.
That being said, it's not ever necessary. We can do things without it, even though it can be super helpful. But yeah, things like male pelvic pain, perineal pain, chronic prostatitis, which is essentially like chronic, like UTI like symptoms in males, urinary incontinence with that, painful urination, interstitial cystitis type pain, erectile dysfunction,
yeah.
right? Even like sexual performance, like sexual yeah. enjoyment, all of those things are deeply, deeply connected to the pelvic floor. And we are starting to see, we see that big time in weightlifters, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
ED is a big one. because mm-hmm. that interior outlet is so stretched, and the posterior outlet is so tight that no blood is going to be able to stay in the anterior outlet, whether that's male or female genitalia, sexual organs. We need the anterior outlet to be able to stay active so that we can maintain erection. It's cool if you know that stuff about the pelvis and the pelvic floor, mm-hmm. that I feel like with NPRI, like you can approach any problem, yeah. right? You can approach any problem and be confident in explaining, like, okay, it makes sense that you feel like you have a golf ball in your butt, because yeah. your posterior outlets are super tight. And we can see that because you can't adduct either right. hip, like, at all. Not even close. It's like not even getting close to the midline, and that tells us something about your pelvic floor, and that's where they're having those symptoms. And so we can make some assumptions sometimes and make treatment decisions based on that, and that's can be life-changing for someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. You just don't see it as often in men, but what you were saying, like, to be clear, like, I did only PRI with him, yeah. and I think, you know, cleared up a lot of stuff. And I think that's really important too, is like going internal is a tool, but like, I think being able to have an assessment that drives you some answers, some obvious objective testing is really useful. So that's like, mm-hmm. to me, that was very helpful to have PRI for something like this, instead of getting overwhelmed with what I was being told as his chief complaint. I just kind of took it one step at a time. And I think as a clinician, that's really helpful versus.
Because they're not their symptoms.
Right.
Those are just symptoms.
Right.
Right. We're not just looking for symptoms to treat. We're looking for
cause.
Yeah. What's going on?
Why? Yeah.
Because the symptom could be anything.
Yeah.
Right. The symptom could be knee pain.
Right.
The person who's dealing with pelvic floor dysfunction just has the temporary discomfort of having to say, yeah, it hurts when I poop, or I can't poop, or whatever, sure. whatever the thing is. Right. And so, it's cool to be able to get outside of the pelvis a little bit and still provide answers for all sorts of problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think like looking at the body like that is a much more efficient way to do things. Cause I know when you're looking at your clients, I think I remember I asked you on the last podcast that we did, like something about pelvic floor and then neck. And we talked a little bit about that. We could talk about it a little now too, but also just having that holistic approach makes a really big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, we're always trying to, I think any therapist, whether you do PRI or not, is sure. we're looking for drivers.
Yeah.
And so sometimes those drivers are obvious, and sometimes we have to search a little bit more for those drivers. And I had a client this week who was like a pure pelvis patient, like her thorax cleared up when we did a pelvis technique. And I was like, oh yes. Like this is, and she's like, why? Yes. I'm like, don't worry about it. But like, this doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
Right. Because most of the time it's, the patterns that have eventually evolved into pelvic floor problems have started, somewhere else really yeah. from breathing.
Yeah.
Oh, or maybe vision, or maybe sensory sure. issues, or, all sorts of different things. But to have a framework in order to approach those things in a systematic way that helps you feel comfortable taking it step by step, is cool.
Amazing. Really, yeah. like, so informative. And your Instagram, you post
it's awesome.
Like, it's so fun. You do all the reels, which I give you props because I know how that takes time. But can you tell people where they can contact you? And what you can offer them. I know you do some different things, but also if they want to do a session with you.
Oh no.
Maybe she'll come back.
Yeah. Oh. You were breaking up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
But can you hear me?
Yeah. Just tell us where to contact you and like what you can offer tell us where to contact you. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. I'm going to cut this part out anyway. So don't worry.
Yeah. You can reach me on primarily on Instagram at Haley Kava PT. HayleyKavaPT. I posted one of my viral reels on TikTok and it's going viral.
Really?
So,
yay! So now you can find her on TikTok.
Now you can find me on TikTok too. I'm going to start posting all my content over onto TikTok as well. I need to just do that. So that's at HayleyKavaPT also. Yeah, it has like 100,000 views overnight. And
oh my God, that's awesome.
Wow. That's wild.
It's so weird how the algorithm works, honestly. I mean, I'm sure whatever the post was awesome, but it's so strange.
Yeah, it's about fecal smearing, so.
Oh, nice. I'm going to go look it up right now.
So on there, my website is HayleyKavaPT.com and that's kind of, I have a podcast. It's called the Beat Around the Bush podcast.
I'm gonna link it.
Yeah, my good friend and kind of co-PRI public floor buddy, Addie Holzman, and I host that together. We basically just tell our own embarrassing stories about our own pelvic floor problems and try to be as relatable as possible without getting too technical. Like we talk about the technical stuff some, but mainly it's to normalize that this shit happens and it's okay, and that it is incredibly normal, and that there is support and you don't have to feel this way. And so that's kind of the goal of that. Those are the ways you can reach me.
Awesome. Yeah. And just so you guys know, the episode talking about Louisville is probably one of the most hilarious podcasts I've ever heard, like ever. And I listen to a lot of podcasts, so you'll have to dig for that one. But okay. So one last question. What do you do every day, or at least most days, to move your brain, move your body, or both?
Okay. Move my body is chasing after now a toddler and a 4-year-old. We have started with my 4-year-old started ice skating every day. We're in Minneapolis, so it's freezing cold and there's an ice rink down the street. So we've been doing that. So that's fun. I grew up competitively figure skating, so that's kind of been exciting. I'm just wearing hockey skates now, so I'm not doing any cool tricks though. To move my brain, I mean, I feel like every client I see, I move my brain really hard. So the reason I'm late is because I always go over time. I always am behind. So
it's hard. That's so hard. I have a hard time with that too. So I can relate. Yeah. It's just hard to get into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a sign of a good future.
You want to give them everything that's in your brain, and it's totally overwhelming. And you usually have to go over all those things again. So I have to try to remember, like, they're going to take away 10% of what I'm saying, but let me just focus on the important 10% and get it in there.
So awesome. And where are you located in case people want, I'm guessing you're seeing some people in person, and I know you do virtual, but if people want to see you in person.
Yep. So I am seeing clients at Studio U with a fellow PRI, Sarah Petrich, who teaches PRI Pilates, or used to. They're not doing the Phyllis anymore, but Sarah and I work at a Pilates studio called Studio U, and that's in St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, or in Minnesota, not Minneapolis, it's close to Minneapolis. And then I see clients virtually and love virtual appointments too. So
amazing.
Yeah.
So
thank you so much for coming on, Haley. It was awesome to have you again.
Yeah. Save it, convert it.
We'll make sure it's gonna go automatically into the boxes so nothing gets lost. Thank you so much.
All right, cool.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast. Join in every week as we release new episodes.
Subscribe or leave us a rating at Apple Podcasts. If you have questions or topics to cover, please email moveyourbb@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @moveyourbb.